happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And I'm happy.
And resist. We're so choreographed.
And while, you know, there's certainly a lot of serious, tough news to convey this week, we will have some good news. But we start off with the fact that although resistance is building to the Supreme Court's assault on abortion rights that has really divided the nation, it's threatens LGBTQ rights.
At the very least. But one lesbian is rising in the White House while another falls on Jeopardy, but only after a great run. And she still has a future.
Brittany Griner now has the top U.S. expert in getting Americans released from oppressive regimes working on her case in Russia.
Five reactionary Republican U.S. senators, I think that's, duplicative, want parental warning labels on programming with LGBTQ content.
There's a new study on trans kids that finds that only a handful have regretted taking any steps towards transition.
It's a very interesting study. And it turns out there's a big Alabama charter school serving LGBTQ youth, but it's now under Republican attack.
In Alabama. The New York Times took a look inside former New York City Mayor Ed Koch's closet for the first time after the rest of us made false assertions and also closeted many of his atrocities.
Well, he's only been dead for 9 years, Andy. We will mourn the loss of an early gay leader in San Francisco and a pioneering gay journalist in Canada.
An anti-gay Russian political leader is hosting a hideously anti-gay game show.
And LGBTQ... Sorry, I'm trying to
nods.
Read. Yes, I see it now. Nods in the win in the Pulitzer Prizes and the Tony Award nominations include five. Get better glasses. Their first trans nominee.
Yeah. But you want to start with Brittany Griner.
Yeah. I want to start where we started last week with Brittany Griner, because just before we started the show last week, a rumor came around that Brittany Griner, the great basketball player and out lesbian, had been released from custody in Russia. Well, that turned out to be just that, a rumor. Not true yet. We're still hopeful. So I want to make clear that we threw that out there thinking it might be true because it came from what sounded like a legitimate source, but it's not true.
And she now has the Bill Richardson working on her case, a former administration official who...
former governor of New Mexico, longtime diplomat and negotiator in these cases.
He was our UN ambassador. He gets people out of these oppressive regimes. He got the last Americans out of Russia just a couple of weeks ago. So he's working on that. That's great. And we want Brittany to come back and join the 20% of the WNBA that is lesbian.
Yeah. OutSports has reported that 20% of the WNBA is out, and that's probably an undercount of the actual population of the WNBA, and reminds us that the Phoenix Mercury, Brittany Griner's team, is paying her full salary and holding a roster spot for her while she is incarcerated in Russia, although they picked up another player to fill her spot as the WNBA plays.
So we want to continue talking about the pending final decision of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. As I said, they basically overturned it already because they won't stop the states from putting into effect laws that contradict their own precedent. But look at the map, folks. This is what's going to happen as soon as that decision comes down. All those red areas are basically going to ban abortion. Some cases outright, in some cases turning it into murder, locking people up, women too, or people who have abortions. So, you know, and then the whatever that is, the tan areas are places where people are still going to be able to get abortion legally. This is horrendous.
And not only are they going to ban abortions, they're going to ban medical abortions, forbidding people to get pills by mail to effect an abortion. And they're going to try to forbid their citizens from going to other states to get abortions.
You know, and if people are hoping that the, you know, the draft decision could be somehow softened, no, it's the only draft available. It's been there since February. There is no other draft.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Now saying if there was another draft, if it had advanced, well, we don't know, but we are right to be alarmed. You know, people are demonstrating outside the homes of some of the Supreme Court justices. And, you know, Ted Cruz said this was worse than the insurrection on Capitol Hill. Well, Chuck Schumer was asked about this. And did you read? And he said, people demonstrate outside my house 3 or 4 times a week. You know, I've been there 3 times myself over the years. He voted for DOMA. I demonstrated against him. He came out and had an argument with us over it back in 1996. So, you know, this is a longstanding tradition. This is free speech. I mean, my God, you know, I'd say to the Supreme Court justices, if you're getting uncomfortable with your privacy, move to another state.
Well, the gall of them to complain about the invasion of their privacy from people peacefully standing in the street, they're not even on their lawns.
And people whose rights they're taking away.
And they're invading people's bodies and trying to control them. It's insane that
I thought it was great that this overturn has caused Attorney General Tish James of New York to come out as having had an abortion. And, you know, it's hard to come out about this. Most people don't about it.
We were doing this 50 years ago, women coming out about having had abortions. That's when it was big news. It doesn't seem quite as revolutionary now as it did
then. I don't think it's been normalized for a lot of people.
No, but I don't want us to forget that these are not the first people who have taken the risk of coming out about having had an abortion.
Well, she called for, and Governor Hochul is going to implement, setting aside funds for women who need money to come to New York to and people who want to exercise reproductive rights. You know,
it's hard for me to imagine that they're really going to be able to take every woman who wants an abortion from their state to this state. That's a lot of people.
What's changed since 1970 when New York legalized abortion is that there are pills available to do it, and that's going to help a lot of people who need abortions.
If they can get access to them.
If they can get access. But, you know, when New York legalized abortion, more than 60% of the abortions performed in New York were from out of state. It's down to 8% now, and obviously it's going to go way back up again. Republicans, by the way, that law was repealed 2 years later by the legislature. But Governor Rockefeller vetoed the repeal. He said, I do not believe it is right for one group to impose its vision of morality on an entire society. And the law, of course, was strengthened greatly in 2019 in New York. Now they're talking about a constitutional amendment to protect abortion in New York. Do you think that would pass here?
I think, well, what do they have to do? Have a vote of the people?
You have to vote of the people twice, yeah.
And the legislature has to pass
it,
yes.
Too? Oh, yes.
Maybe. New York's...
The DRA did not pass here back in the 70s.
Yeah, New York's a much more conservative place than people think, so I'm not going to say definitely at this point. Right. And I certainly wouldn't want us to lose a vote like that, so I don't know if it's necessary to put it in the Constitution.
Michigan is one of the states that has a law on the books to ban abortion that will go into effect when court decision comes down, it criminalizes it. Seven district attorneys have said, we're not going to prosecute that.
Well, let's be clear, too. We're talking about this as abortion rights, but this really is about personal integrity and independence and freedom, as the right wing would say. And it is very clear to us that if this decision comes down, no matter what Alito tries to claim in the decision, everything is up for grabs. And I mean everything.
Everything.
Not just because it's an overturning of a previous precedent, but because of the substance of the decision, which wipes out any idea that there are inherent rights in the Constitution of privacy and freedom. They just aren't written there, and they're not. And look, women were never in the Constitution. So everything that applies that we now see as settled law about women can disappear. Racial freedom and rights, everything, and certainly LGBTQ rights, all of them are on the table. Right. Any five people on that court can just arbitrarily make a decision to wipe that all out. And those five who are making this decision are all on record as hating most.
On same-sex marriage, those five are against same-sex marriage. So is John Roberts. He thought the Obergefell decision was terrible, and he said so at the time. So,
well, I can see him flipping on that, but it doesn't really matter because the other five are totally wedded, you should excuse the expression, to the idea that we do not have any inherent rights and that state by state, they can make decisions to take away any rights we think we have.
And Governor Newsom asks, where's the party on this? I mean, as we tape, they're supposed to be having a vote in the Senate, a show vote to, implement, codify Roe v. Wade in law. It'll fail. It might not even get, probably won't even get 50 votes. But Schumer's going to do that, unlike the vote on the Equality Act, which he promised, but he's not doing that. But anyway, Governor Newsom of California asked, where are the Democrats? Nancy Pelosi, who I love in many ways, but she's supporting anti-abortion Henry Cuellar for re-election in Texas over a pro-choice Justice Cisneros in a runoff that's taking place shortly.
All right. We have to detour for a second to talk about Henry Cuellar. He is a conservative anti-abortion Democrat in South Texas. And here's what he has just done. He has a staff member who is pregnant who asked for maternity leave. And what did he do? He fired her. And then he lied about her and said that had his other staff write reports that she was not qualified to do her job. And, hold on, he lied about her being under a probationary period. There's nothing about a probationary period.
So is Nancy going to dump him now?
I doubt it. But this is a Democrat who is anti-abortion rights and fired a pregnant woman. That's how much he cares about pregnancy.
Right. And folks, and again, I'm not trying to depress you, but you have to face facts. It's almost impossible to win the midterm elections this time, maybe the Senate, possibly. It's going to be very, very tough to win 2024, because once the House goes Republican, they get to decide who the next president is under all these new crazy laws that the Republicans are passing in the states. So we're on the precipice here. And, we really have to start work thinking creatively about how to go our separate ways just to survive with each other in this land so that we don't literally kill each other.
All right. For those who want a little action this weekend on this, there are going to be pro-reproductive rights marches and events across the country. You can go to the website riseup4abortionrights.org. riseup4abortionrights.org. You put in your zip code and you'll see what's in your area. In New York City at noon, there's a gathering at Cadman Plaza. in Brooklyn that then marches over the Brooklyn Bridge to Foley Square.
2 o'clock in Union Square?
2 o'clock in Union Square. There's a gathering there. I don't know if these will meet up or whatever. Planned Parenthood is doing the Cadman Plaza one.
It's all over the country.
Yeah.
You can look it up. And by the way, I read something this week I didn't know. After the Dred Scott decision, which, the North threatened to leave the Union. The North threatened to leave the Union because they thought the court was going to mandate slavery could be everywhere. And then, of course, we had a civil war.
Well, you've always been in favor of the Union splitting.
Who is?
You.
Oh, I am. I mean, when couples don't get along like this, they need a divorce. And it needs, I hope it's constructive and amicable, but we're two different kinds of people. It's not going to be easy, but we cannot go on like this.
Well, so unfortunately, the states are not split quite so easily. And as we will see with the Alabama story, there are all kinds of people in all kinds of places.
People are going to be gravitating around different ways in order to live in better places as a result. Just like the parents of trans kids or out in Texas are moving to California or places like that.
Gay people didn't all move to New York and California. We are everywhere.
An awful lot did in the 50s and 60s. That's what you had to do. Now, it's become easier in many places, but what about when they take away recognition of your marriage? You're going to stay in that state?
Well, that's to be determined. Let's move on, and let's move to a piece of good news from the White House.
Oh, by the way, before you do that, I just want to just mention another LGBTQ angle on the abortion thing, and that's that this is really going to complicate in vitro fertilization in many states, making it very tough for people to use because it produces a bunch of embryos that are fertilized. Some are discarded. It's going to be very, very tough.
Well, you won't be able to discard them without being prosecuted for murder.
Right. And I'm also encouraged that the U.S. House Judiciary Committee is marking up a code of conduct for Supreme Court ethics, because there is none. It's aimed at, of course, the lawless Justice Thomas, but it will apply to the full Supreme Court. And the whole court will get to consider recusal motions, although with a 6-3 conservative majority, who knows?
The court will declare it unconstitutional.
The Congress does have a legal role in regulating the court. Your ancestor wrote it.
I believe that this court can do whatever it wants to do.
And then you reach a breaking point and people just, look, Andrew Jackson.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, to think that the Congress can actually end up controlling the.
Well, they do. I mean, they can expand the number of judges in the federal judiciary across the country. That's their job. They're the only ones who can do that.
Doesn't the Supreme Court have to approve any expansion of their numbers?
No, absolutely not. It's totally up to the Congress and signed by the president. It's totally an amendment of the Judiciary Act. It's been done about 10 times. And, of course, more to expand the federal judiciary, expand the number of districts. We have grown quite a bit since 1789.
Maybe it's term limits they have to agree.
Term limits would be a constitutional amendment. That would be because the Constitution says they serve on good behavior. That's it. Well, of course, Justice Thomas, terrible behavior. All right, let's go. Let's move on.
All right. Karine Jean-Pierre.
Speaking of Let's Move On, because she used to be one of the heads of MoveOn.org.
That's her on the left with her partner, Suzanne Malveaux, CNN reporter, on the right, and their baby. Karine has been a longtime political worker. She worked for John Edwards and Obama and Martin O'Malley in Maryland. She was on Kamala Harris's staff when she was running for president, and then when she became the vice presidential nominee, chief of staff. And then she ended up in the White House press office as deputy press secretary to Jen Psaki. And now she is taking over from Jen, who is leaving to go become a commentator on MSNBC.
Which Corinne used to be.
Yes, they've switched roles. So Corinne is taking over, and Suzanne Malveaux has been reassigned by CNN because the Republicans immediately said, conflict of interest, conflict of interest. So she will not be covering politics or the White House or Congress or anything while Corinne is in the new press secretary job.
But Corinne is the first Black woman to hold the job, top job, and the first out LGBTQ person in the job. Jen Psaki said she will give voice to many. And Jean-Pierre said the historic nature of the appointment is not lost on me. By the way, she grew up in Queens Village here in New York. She used to work in the New York City Council, I believe. She went to Kellenberg High School on Long Island, which is the sister school of the Catholic school I went to out there.
And born in Martinique. Thank you. It is Jen Psaki. I got lost in my own brain there somewhere. I think she's extremely smart and sharp, but she's not going to be as vicious as Jen Psaki, and I'm going to miss that.
We'll see.
We shall.
President Biden has nominated out Asa Reyes to the U.S. District Court.
Anna Reyes.
Anna, I apologize. Hi, Anna. Oh, there she is. She's she's nominated to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. If confirmed, the first Latina and the first out LGBTQ person on the court. She's currently in private practice, focusing on cross-border litigation, but doing pro bono work for asylum seekers and refugees. That will bring a lot of questions from the Republicans. She clerked for a U.S. Court of Appeals judge, and she's an immigrant from Uruguay, and she grew up in Louisville. All five of Biden's new nominees are women.
And thank you to the Department of Agriculture, which has announced that it will follow the Bostock decision as long as that's in effect, and will impose rules of no sexual orientation or gender identity discrimination in its food programs, the SNAP program and any other food programs from the Department of Agriculture, now officially will not discriminate on the basis of sex.
Wasn't Bostock 6-3?
I believe so, yeah. And it was written by
Gorsuch. So we might be able to hold on to that.
I don't know. They got some people who are bringing a lot more pressure to do conservative things now.
Okay. All right. Shall we go to Alabama?
Okay.
Well, you know, they have a thriving LGBTQ plus charter school outside of Birmingham, Magic City Acceptance Academy, 240 students. But it's the target of campaign ads by Republican Tim James, who's running against the closeted incumbent Kay Ivey. And that's made it a target of local bigots who are now going by the school and harassing the kids, which is awful. James is calling the school exploitation and child abuse. So it's making some of the kids scared to come to school, but it plans to expand to 350 kids next year. It's helping so many, though they're worried about the law barring educators from encouraging or coercing students to withhold from their parents the fact that their minor's perception of his or her sex or gender is inconsistent with the minor's sex. Well, I have to believe the parents know that their kids are going to this school. I mean, that was true at the Harvey Milk School.
It's a charter school. They have to enroll their kids into this.
I'm going to Magic City, Mom. They might not tell them. No, they do.
Come on. Tim James is also in trouble because he went campaigning in Virginia and came back and gave a speech at a church in Alabama and talked about all the freaks he saw in Virginia with tattoos and piercings and left-wing opinions. And the pastor of the church sent out an apology afterwards about how inappropriate this was and how he disagreed with Tim James about all this. And this is a conservative church he was speaking in.
To finish up, there are six charter schools nationwide like this one in L.A., Lakewood, Ohio, James Baldwin School in New York. Did you hear? I didn't even know about it. James Baldwin School in New York.
I'm not sure.
Dallas, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to link to that in our email. Sign up for our email. Go to gayusatv.org. You get a lot of extras. And in Alabama, the law criminalizing gender-affirming care for minors went into effect on Sunday. It's awaiting a ruling from a federal judge and whether it can, to put a stay on it. But it's a Trump judge, so I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, but all of these proposed or enacted laws are under attack legally now by our people, and I'd like to think we can make some progress there. But meanwhile, a very interesting study has been released, published in the Journal of Pediatrics, that said they studied 317 trans kids ages 3 to 12. Studied them over 5 years. They're continuing to study them. But at this point, 94% are maintaining their trans identity. 3.5% self-describe as non-binary. And just 2.5% have reverted in their gender identity to their birth described gender.
They're going to follow them for 20 years.
Yeah,
parents are all supportive. That's what
these kids, their average transition age was 6.5.
Right. When we say transition, we're talking about a social transition in the
beginning. Yes, yes. They're not having surgery at 6.5. This is called the Trans Youth Project. And meanwhile, as we are learning this, that 94% are maintaining their trans identity at a young age. Donald Trump went out in public and said, 60% of trans kids regret it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Should we show the video?
Yes. There's a lovely video that HRC put out about the parents of trans kids speaking.
It doesn't seem that enough people are taking what's happening to us seriously.
Our entire family systems are in jeopardy of being torn apart because of bigotry and ignorance.
It's creating a framework as if there's two sides to this issue and that they're both somehow valid. That isn't the case. When you have every major medical association in this country saying that trans kids need affirmative care and they need to be supported by families and communities, and then you have the voices who absolutely are basing what they say not at all on fact, not at all on science, but on bigoted opinion.
I think what we are experiencing in this country is really a replication of a very well-constructed playbook. The reduction of people to an isolated thing, whether it be their skin, their language, whatever it is, was perfected in this country before it was a country.
The scary thing is how fast it's happening right now. Like, I would have thought this would have taken us another 10, 15 years to get to the point of wanting to eliminate healthcare, of wanting to control bodies with this kind of intensity and to take children away and to threaten that. And here we are after 7 years after bathrooms. Bathrooms are back and they're not stopping there.
It's quickly becoming apparent that there is no safe space for us. And how is that tenable? How are we supposed to just accept that wherever we go, we are potentially going to be victimized? Like, I'm trying to prepare my children to live in the world, you know, and I'm already dealing with intersectionality with a black child and a trans child. And now I have to think about, okay, what states can you live in? What places can you go where you'll be safe? Because I won't be there.
If you have the capacity to have empathy and to see a whole human being, you can help us protect our trans kids, because that's what we need. My child is an only child, and I will not live forever. And there will be a time in his life when I won't be here. And I need him to be okay without me. And I think everybody here feels that. I will move mountains. I will, you tell me where to go and I'm gonna do it. Because I will not leave this earth without having tried everything I could to protect him and without trying to convince the rest of the world to protect and love him too.
The trans youth do indeed need our support, and yet, you know, the assault of all these laws, and then there's a new one proposed in the Congress by five Republican senators: Roger Marshall, Mike Lee of Utah, Mike Braun, Kevin Cramer, and Steve Daines of Montana. They want TV ratings so that parents can know if there is LGBTQ content in a show. Now, they're going to have to put a label on Fox News, and I mean that not facetiously. That's, we are half of what they talk about.
But they're not, are they showing us? And Fox News, not so much. But this is the continuing redefinition of us, of LGBTQ plus people, as anathema, as illegitimate, as illegal, as disgusting and sick. And they want to just close the door on us, put us back in the closet, not see us, not talk about us. They want us not to exist. And
well, yes.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, speaking of blocking us out in Florida, in Longwood at Lyman High School, the yearbook had pictures of the kids protesting "Don't Say Gay." So the school got all upset and said that wasn't a school activity, and they ordered all these labels to be plastered over the pages of the yearbook. But then, and of course, the kids protested widely, and then the Seminole School Board voted unanimously to say, "Don't do that. I mean, just leave it the way it is. Maybe put a little small sticker that says this was not a school-sponsored activity, but you're not covering up the pictures." And I was going to suggest to the kids when they got their books with the labels over them, put your own label over back with the pictures back.
Well, thank you to the school board. But in Georgia, the High School Association has banned all trans athletes from school sports. You can only play in your birth gender. That's going to be an interesting problem. The Victory Institute reports good news. 19 states will introduce a law to protect medical care for trans youth. This is in the face of all these states that are trying to ban medical care for trans youth. The statement from the Victory Institute in these states is, we're going on offense. We're not going to just play defense anymore. We're going on offense. In Pennsylvania, the House there has passed a no trans girls in girls sports. This now goes to the Senate in Pennsylvania. But Governor Wolf, the Democrat, while we hold on to a Democratic governor's seat for the moment, has promised to veto it if it passes.
All right.
In Louisiana, the House Education Committee has killed a Don't Say Gay bill because they figured out that heterosexuals would be covered too if they outlawed any mention of sexual orientation.
Of course. Yes. All right. In Michigan, a 24-year-old white trans man, Ray Muscat, we have a picture there, shot to death by his girlfriend, who also shot her brother to death. He had been with Ruby Taverner, 22 years old, for 2 years, who was a 22-year-old white trans woman who later shot herself. This is just a very, very sad story and no motive.
Yeah, terrible story. Ray is the 13th trans person murdered in 2022 that we know of. The list is unfortunately growing.
Can we talk about Rick Stokes?
Sure.
Rick Stokes has just died at the age of 87. He was the more establishment out gay man who ran against Harvey Milk for San Francisco supervisor in 77. He died May 3rd of heart failure. He was remembered as a leading activist, philanthropist, business owner, including Steamworks Bathhouse that he co-founded. He was also an out gay lawyer when that wasn't easy. He was portrayed by Steven Spinella in the movie Milk, a native of Oklahoma. He was also one of the subjects of the documentary Word Is Out back in 77, where he talked about having been subjected to 25 electric shock treatments for being gay. And he founded a lot of early gay organizations, and served on, in 1971, started to serve on San Francisco boards and things. He's survived by his husband of the last decade, Alex Kiforenko.
Yeah, it's quite a record. And if Harvey had not been in the race, he would have been a great choice as a supervisor.
Yeah, he was considered a bit more conservative, but not by national standards.
No, not by that. Now,
and I'm not sorry to see Midge Dekker go. This woman, 94 years old, reactionary editor of Commentary, she was an ex-liberal who hated liberals, feminism, and gay people. She wrote an article called The Boys on the Beach for Commentary, which was like the protocols of the elders of Zion for gays. She was resentful of gays on Fire Island, where she used to summer, and she just wrote this heinous article. She was a really miserable character, but of course now people like her are in power.
And there's a fight brewing in at the Reese Park, traditionally gay and nude beach in the Rockaways, over whether that space will be maintained for that population or taken over by the Parks Department and gentrified into a more family-friendly space. But we should talk about someone else who has been dead for a while, and that's Ed Koch. We want to reserve time for a lot of entertainment news, so let's get into this.
Okay.
So the New York Times wrote a front page lengthy article revealing that Ed Koch struggled with being public about his sexual orientation.
The lesbian editor said, "This story has never been told." She doesn't read, apparently.
It's been told for, what, 30
decades.
Years, 40 years?
Decades. 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 The Times is the one that wouldn't cover it. And
right.
Now, at the behest of gay friends of Koch's, like Charlie Kaiser, who we have a picture of, who was a journalist who covered for Koch for all these years, is a total Koch apologist. Koch was the greatest, you know, resents anybody who says anything critical of him. You know, so these friends put together this article, and they didn't quote any of people who know the negative stuff about Koch and his homosexuality. You know, they certainly mention AIDS, but like they try to defend that record. But then they put into this article the idea that his friends were trying to set him up on dates because he was lonely and, you know, just wanted to be loved. But of course, he loathed himself and worked against us for so many years. And the fact is that do we have the picture with Herb Rickman? And there's Herb Rickman on the right there. That was his gay aide, a miserable character, with Bess Meyerson, who was Koch's beard during the 77 campaign to help get him elected because everybody thought he was gay. And by the way, over there on the left is Carol Bellamy, who never came out of the closet, you know, who was the city council president. So anyway, Herb Rickman supposedly was arranging dates at his house for Koch. One of the things he did was arrange for Koch to sexually molest one of the city employees who I worked with, Dennis DeLeon. I mean, that's what was going on. He was procuring for him. It's outrageous. He wasn't trying to find people to go out on dates with Koch. Koch just wanted to get off once in a while. It's just the whole article is a put-up job.
And there he is with Cardinal O'Connor, who he defended so vociferously that Koch was in St. Patrick's Cathedral to defend the Cardinal as we from ACT UP went in there to complain and demonstrate about the church's murderous treatment of people with AIDS.
And that's during the St. Patrick's Day parade. And that's the point. Koch never stood in solidarity with gay people. He stood in solidarity with his Jewish identity and used to oppose everybody who opposed Israel. But in terms of his gayness, he never saw it as his issue, you see. So he marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade for 25 years when they discriminated against us.
And he got more and more conservative over the years and supported, didn't he endorse Giuliani and
George W. Bush, who was running on a campaign of putting a constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage in the Constitution. Now, why did he do that? Oh, because he supported the Iraq War. He wanted to murder Muslims.
More and more right-wing, more and more anti-LGBTQ, vociferously anti-LGBTQ, And the Times acts like no one ever knew this at the time. Well, the gay press across the board was writing all this at the time, and the Times ignored it, refused to print anything about it, and now comes out with this story about, oh, look at this big secret that no one knew.
The Times is a disgrace, has been on gay issues for, well, of course, if you look in the 1950s and you want to look up homosexuality, it says, see perversion.
Well, let's move on because we don't have a lot of time.
We don't.
Here's a good politician, Donica Rome in Virginia, who was elected in 2018 as a delegate, as the highest ranking out trans person elected to office in the United States. She has now decided that she is going to try for an open Senate seat in Virginia, a state Senate seat next year. She's been reelected twice by huge margins since she was first elected. And her original slogan was that she was going to fix the traffic jams on a highway in Virginia. And she says her campaign slogan for 2023 will be fixing roads, feeding kids.
And we don't want to take you away from pro-choice rallies on Saturday, but the first Japan parade is going to have George Takei as their grand marshal.
Central Park West, Saturday afternoon. All right. International news. In Honduras, the government of Honduras has stepped up and formally apologized and admitted responsibility for the murder of the political murder of a trans activist, Vicky Hernandez, in 2009. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled that they had to do this, and they now have done it. And this is a ceremony where they apologized and admitted it.
And that's Kerry Kennedy of the RFK Human Rights Group, which represented her family along with Vicky's mother. And reparations have been ordered. That's at the offices that Vicky used to work at because she was an activist.
We have an escapee from Russia, the Pussy Riot leader, Maria, known as Masha Alyukhina. She and her girlfriend and other members of Pussy Riot have managed to get themselves out of Russia, in part with the help of a performance artist from Iceland who got them some necessary European travel documents. She had been jailed multiple times over the last year or two, and she just couldn't take it anymore. They were threatening further, bigger punishments. But she is out, and Pussy Riot is going to do a European tour, and everybody's okay.
Most notably, after the 2012 demonstration at the cathedral there, where they were arrested and sentenced to 2 years in prison, and Ed Koch, I'm coming back to that, proclaimed himself delighted and wondered why no one was punished for Stop the Church.
We did have a sentence of 10 days of community service.
All right. In the Philippines, they've elected a right-wing government. Bongbong, the son of dictator Ferdinand Marcos. Now, he's trying to act like he would be okay with same-sex marriage if the legislature passed it. But he's a reactionary. This is going to be really bad.
China is cheering his election, if that gives you an indication.
He appealed to a public disillusioned with democracy.
I read something. They are delighted to have an autocrat in power, which is what's happening all over the world, including here. In Ukraine, a depressing story out of Ukraine that Russian soldiers, as they move backwards or forwards, are raping not just women and girls, but men and boys. They are non-discriminatory in their violent, horrible behavior.
Northern Ireland, for the first time, the first party past the post was Sinn Féin, which is bodes well for LGBTQ rights and for unification of the island. It's obviously very complicated. And in Ireland, the National Maternity Hospital was about to be entrusted to a Catholic agency, and there's a huge protest over it. They're saying, wait a minute, they got to comply with all the laws and they got to do reproductive rights and everything else, or no go. Ireland is tough.
And in Romania, the Senate has approved a no promo homo law based on the Hungarian and Russian model. It still has to go to the lower house of the legislature, but no reason to think they'll get rid of it.
And in Russia, they now have a game show, I'm Not Gay, hosted by right-wing anti-gay politician Vitaly Molinov. It's grotesque. The contestants have to guess which of the eight are gay. The winner gets $29,000. It all centers on male stereotypes, homophobic stereotypes, but it's a distraction from their vile losing war in the Ukraine. YouTube polled the show as violating their policy on harassment and bullying.
And in Canada, we lost Gerald Hannon to an assisted death. He'd been sick with Parkinson's for years, age 77. He was a very provocative, brave writer, a lot for the Body Politic and others. He wrote an autobiography called Immoral, Indecent,
Hello?
And Scurrilous, The Making
Hello?
Of an Unrepentant Radical. He was a professor and a sex worker, and quite open about that.
He was something. You can go to his website, GeraldHannon.com, to read his writing. You know, when a right winger went after him and said, you're at the university, you're hiring a sex worker, he said, yeah, I'm a hooker. It made big headlines. He didn't care.
AIDS news. In Argentina, the Chamber of Deputies has passed a law approving free, voluntary, universal testing and free health care for people with HIV, viral hepatitis, tuberculosis, and sexually transmitted infections. Pensions for those infected, creates a national commission to institute training, research, and public education, and outlaws stigma and discrimination. It's an amazing national law. The Senate still has to approve it, but this looks very, very good in Argentina.
Okay. Entertainment news. So the Pulitzer Prize in drama was awarded to James Imes for his Fat Ham play. This is at the Public Theater right now. It reimagines Shakespeare's Hamlet as a, quote, queer black Southern college kid named Juicy. And it's a co-production with the National Black Theater.
They did it in a theater in Philadelphia and streamed it. I tried to watch it today, but it's no longer available. But I did get to see a 48-second trailer, and it looked terrific. And you know how rarely I say that.
And then the Tony Award nominations are out, and Strange Loop got 11 nominations. There's Jaquel Spivey and the cast of Thoughts. This is by Michael R. Jackson. And by the way, I'm going to include a video of him singing one of the top songs from the show in our email. It also nomination for John Andrew Morrison, another out gay black man, and this trans person on the right there. That is L. Morgan Lee, the first trans nomination in the history there for Best Featured Actress.
She's going up against Patti LuPone.
I have a Patti LuPone story. I'll tell you later. Adam, also out nominated is Simon Russell Beale, along with his two co-stars there in the closed Lehman trilogy. They're all great, but Beale, 61, has been out for decades, one of my favorite actors of all time. You've seen him in the movies of The Death of Stalin. He's going to be Churchill in the new movie Operation Mincemeat, but it's theater work that is unsurpassed.
We will not show you the naked video bootlegged from Take Me Out, but we will show you Jesse Tyler Ferguson, also in the play, who was nominated for a Tony.
As was Michael Oberholzer as the anti-gay teammate. And then Company got a nomination, an addition for Patti LuPone, for Matt Doyle. He plays the part of a gay couple in this updated version of the Sondheim's musical, which features a woman playing Bobby.
Now, so the Tonys will have their gay quotient this year. But Jeopardy has now lost its latest lesbian champion, Matea Roach, 23. She turns out to be an LSAT tutor, LSAT tutor, law graduate exam tutor from Toronto. She won 23 games and over $560,000. And in an interview, there she is in her daily garb, looking a little more lesbianic. She says what really got her to a lesbian identity was reading Fun Home by Alison Bechdel, that really clarified it for her. And so there she is as a very out and proud lesbian, and she'll be going on to the Tournament of Champions of Jeopardy.
And she talked about her style on the show, and she said she wanted to be her authentic self. I wasn't thinking about it in terms of, oh, it's going to be so important for people to see a young queer person on the show. To the extent that I thought it mattered, it mostly mattered to me. Obviously never mattered to Ed Koch. By the way, a gay artist has the highest selling American painting of all time, Andy Warhol. His Marilyn Silk Screen brought $195 million at auction.
Whatever. Now, have you watched Heartstopper on Netflix?
I have. I think it's quite charming. I reviewed it last week. I buried the headline about Heartstopper. It's an LGBTQ teen drama about a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old at a school. It's quite charming. But you're watching the show, and at the end of the first episode, Olivia Colman, multiple award winner, Oscar winner, everything, pops up as Nick's mother. And she really nails it. It's a very small role, but they kept this a secret until it premiered on Netflix on April 22nd.
Very exciting news that Janelle Monáe is going to play Josephine Baker in a new streaming series. There's a bidding war going on at the moment about who's going to actually air it. We'll wait breathlessly for that. It's going to be called De la Résistance. And she's excited about the role, and we're excited to see her do it.
Josephine Baker was in the French Resistance, and of course, Janelle is in our resistance
every
here
day.
In this country.
I'm really excited that tomorrow, as we're taping, on Thursday, May 12th, Hacks returns for season two. Did you see season one?
Some of it, yes.
It's very well done and very funny and sort of sharp and bitter. It's on HBO Max, starring Jean Smart, the veteran genius, and the out by Hannah Einbinder there behind her, who plays a out by character, Anna. Hannah Einbinder's mother in real life is Lorraine Newman, formerly of Saturday Night Live.
And
Laurie Metcalf is joining the cast this year.
And Jean has won a lot of awards for it.
Fantastic. Really fantastic. Hacks on HBO Max. And congratulations to Ross Matthews of Drag Race and everywhere else. He married his longtime partner, Dr. Wellington Garcia. They got married in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Drew Barrymore was a flower girl. And People Magazine, as you see, has the exclusive photos.
People Magazine is edited by a gay man. Out.
Okay. Now, I've watched a couple of documentaries this week, and they turned out to be, they could have been companion pieces, and they're both going into theaters in New York this week and LA next week and then more widely, and they should be running back-to-back in theaters. Kamikaze Hearts is from 35 years ago, 1986. It is a classic lesbian movie about the porn industry, and there are real people playing real roles, but in sort of constructed situations. It's sex, drugs, and Carmen the Opera, and it stars Sharon Mitchell there on the right, a porn veteran, and an ingenue Tigger on the left. It's sort of philosophical, but it's and very casual, but a very interesting piece. And then on the right is Jonathan Agassi, Saved My Life. Jonathan Agassi is a huge porn star, or was, in Israel, and the star of Men of Israel, a notorious porn film made by our old pal Michael Lucas. And this is the story of his life as a huge superstar who goes to hell with drugs. And then at the end, you hear that he's pulled himself together. But it's a very similar theme to Kamikaze Hearts. And I was just struck watching them both together. Jonathan Agassi's Saved My Life is a much slicker movie. And it has the added element of him having a very devoted mother. It's amazing how 35 years apart these movies are such echoes of each other.
Just one small correction. Your pal, Michael Lucas.
I haven't seen him for a while. A couple other movies available for streaming. Mascarpone is an Italian gay male movie playing in L.A. now and available on video on demand. It's sort of a nice little Italian romance. Strictly for the Birds is an older trans woman who finds love late. Strictly for the Birds, also available online. And Harmony, our Barry Manilow, Bruce Sussman musical, closes on Sunday at the theater at the Jewish Museum downtown. It got extended, but Sunday is its last performance. They're trying to take it beyond to Broadway. They're seeing what Broadway house might be available as things may disappear after the Tony Awards. But Harmony, compared to some other things we've seen this spring, Harmony looks better and better and better. So if you want to catch that, this is your last chance at the moment this weekend downtown.
A couple of items. You have some more? I have a couple of items.
I got one other little thing. Go ahead. We've got a couple.
Well, no. Just by the way, remember that anti-LGBT Atla Church in Harlem
yes.
that used to put
yes.
us up on signboards?
Yep.
Anti-gay stuff. It's in bankruptcy, and Pastor Manning is blaming the gays, but maybe it's because the congregation got sick of your hatred.
He blamed us for everything before. Why not blame us now? The Hamptons, where I know you spend your summers, is having its first Pride March on June 4th in East Hampton.
I used to spend Memorial Day there with friends. They had me out for about 9 years, but they're gone.
Well, the only thing bad is you have to register for it. I am against registering for...
We're against all registries.
I am against all registries. Except, booking a tea time. That's about the only registering I do.
Well, they're making a registry. You know, they're going after states. The red states are going after online library databases in schools, blocking content. I mean, they already block content, but this is just relentless. It's every week.
They are capturing women's registering of their periods online to track when they might have had a miscarriage or an abortion.
This is called, and you should look it up in the dictionary, fascism.
And a police state.
Right. You don't want it, folks.
No. Please, go
get
to
out the... in the streets. Get out in the streets this Saturday.
Saturday.
March
we'll
for the right
there. And we'll see you here next week.
I'll be in Union Square. Bye.